Hello, good evening. Welcome to an episode of Rebuild in Ruins. Just checking everything, making sure my sound's working. Jesus, cover my sound, my audio, my visual, all the things, because last time it did not go smooth. It's all so dramatic, isn't it? Okay, just bear with me. I'm just gonna make sure I am where I'm supposed to be. I'm chicken. Let's see. Interesting. Let me see. I think I'm I think I'm good there. How's everybody doing? I hope everybody's able to chill, relax. Thank you for joining me as we gather into the presence of the Lord. He is come with some expectation. Just come ready to rest. Rest your weary hearts, your weary. You guys know how it goes. All the weariness sometimes can catch up to you. It's hard for me to talk and make sure I'm good on all my platforms at the same time. All right, let me see. Okay, just trying to bridge the gap here. That's why I do the scene talk, because I'm just trying to buy myself some time here. All right, let me see. Guys, thank you for just your patience in this matter. Thank you. I have to wear my sweater wherever I go in life because my husband is cold-blooded and I am hot-blooded. I'm Caribbean and he's Viking, so we just have to. He likes it freezing. I like it. I like the heat. I'm a Caribbean queen. Okay, I think we're good. I'm hoping it's good this time. Okay. All right. Guys, you know, I have been going through some amazing experiences with the Lord. Let me just say this. And the big thing that he keeps getting at me is identity. And so, if that's already the process I'm in, I might as well just, you know, tackle it, talk about it, and pray about it, and continue to step into it. You know, it's a process. It's a process of stripping. It's a process of acknowledging who God is. We cannot find out who we are apart from him. It's just not going to work. Mm-mm. He is our maker. He's our provider. He's our sustainer. He established us way, way before he did this earth. And so if we want to know who we are, if we want to know whose we are, we have to tap into who he is. And as just like Peter, he knew he, when Jesus asked him, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it was then that Jesus imparted, and you are Peter the rock. So our identities are entwined to become one as we continue to immerse ourselves in the identity of Jesus and his character and his nature, because the world has a whole lot to say of who Jesus is. They have a whole lot to say of who God is, whether it's that he's distant, he's indifferent, he's judgmental, he's tolerant. Everybody puts all these different labels on who Jesus is, who God is, what their nature is and their character. But he wants us to know who he is from our own experiences, not from anybody else's experience, not from anybody else's tainted views or broken down views. And so many times people carry so much hurt and baggage throughout life. And that becomes a reflection for them in their walk with Christ and who he is. So that's what we're going to delve into. So if this is a live prayer session, well, by golly, I guess we should start off in prayer. Just center your hearts, center your minds on who God is. Let's ask him, Father, who are you? We don't want to know what the world says about you, what social media says, what the culture says. We want to know who you are, who you are. We want to know the truth. We want to experience you in your fullness. Nothing held back. Nothing held back, Lord. Release the greatness and the majesty of who you are, Lord. Sometimes we struggle with wondering if you're good, if you're faithful, if you're kind, especially when we're going through circumstances and situations that seem so, man, like they're waging war. We're just getting attacked on every side, and it's hard to experience your goodness. It's hard to know what your heart is for us in the midst of chaos, in the midst of confusion, in the midst of doubts. Father, may you speak louder than any person that has spoken into us, Lord. Any person that has tried to define us, any person that has held us back with their words. Father, we ask that you would break us free from the binds, the way that words can bind us, Lord. Break us free from that so that we can know the reality of what you say about us, and we can finally step in to our inheritance as sons and daughters of the King. So in this moment, we surrender our hearts to you. We surrender our mind, our will, our emotions. Many of us are in the boat and the wind and the waves are crashing. And you're calling us to come out to where you are, calling us out of our comfort, calling us out of the boat, into the wind, into the waves. A scary place. You're always in the scary places. You're in the dark places because you are the light. And so, Father, we just ask for clarity. We ask that you speak. May my words fall to the ground, but may your words produce a harvest in our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. And you know what, guys? I'm also going to take another brief intermission because there is this family that has, man, been a beautiful shining lamp in our community lately. And they are in the midst of a storm. They're in the midst of chaos. But we know that the Lord, wherever the Lord is, there is freedom. Wherever the Lord is, there is peace. And so their daughter is a little warrior fighting and And I believe she's hearing the instructions from heaven on how her body can be healed. And so I'm going to also take a moment to pray for her name is Scarlett and her family, as she is continuing to heal and be restored. And so, Lord, we just pray for wholeness, 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 wholeness in her mind, wholeness in her body, not just for her, but for her family, Lord. May this not be something that is marked as trauma, but triumph in their storyline, Father. That this will not define them in a negative way, that it would not cause fears and phobias of water or hospitals or doctors. But Father, we just pray Psalm 91 over them. And I'm just going to look that up so that we can declare that over this amazing family. I love praying scripture because it is the will of God. It's His words. And we know that His word does not return to its void, but it accomplishes everything that it sets out to. So when in doubt, speak the word of God, declare it. Declare it, because that is the one constant thing. He is our rock. He's our salvation. He's our fortress. He's our deliverer. Whatever it is that you need, that's what He is to you. You need a father, He's your father. You need a friend, you need a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's all those things. So Psalm 91, we just speak that over. I speak that over you. I speak that over Scarlett, her family, her entire family, that they who dwell in the shelter of the Most High, may they abide in the shadow of the Almighty. We will say to the Lord, You are our refuge and our fortress, our God in whom we trust. For You will deliver them from the snare of the fowler, from the deadly pestilence. Father, cover them with Your pinions, and under Your wings may they find refuge. Father, Your faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear. May they not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. Father, I ask that they will hear the sound of Your voice in the midst of chaos, Lord, in the midst of confusion, in the midst of all these possibilities, diagnoses, and all those things, Lord. I pray that Your word will prevail, healing will prevail, that she will rise up better than before, more restored than before, Lord, as everyone's eyes are on this story and everyone's ear is waiting to hear the next report. Lord, may You break through in a mighty way. We just ask that Your waters of peace, Your waters of restoration will wash over this family in Jesus' name, cleansing away any trauma, cleansing away fear, cleansing away doubt. We pray that faith will rise up in such a strong, magnificent way, that they will carry the lanterns of faith for others to see Your goodness, in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you, but when you guys hear about a story about a child that's, or a parent that's going through something, man, it strikes your heart as if it's your own kid, you know? And God calls us to share the burdens of one another. And it's just, there's something beautiful about a community that comes together, whether it's through prayer or bringing meals or, you know, encouragement, whatever it is, whatever degree that is, it's such a beautiful thing to see God's people on the move. They are responding. It reminds me of when we have a natural disaster, like Hurricane Katrina or whatever it is, and there's immediate boots on the ground, or there should be immediate boots on the ground. There should be people responding with food, water, and all the things to be able to help out their brother or their sister in need. And that's what the kingdom looks like. That is our identity as sons and daughters, is being the hands and feet of Christ. That is what we're commissioned to do, to heal the sick, to raise the dead. Did you know that that's your job? That's not somebody else's. That's your calling. But I had the story of Joshua in the book of Zechariah, chapter 3. And I'm going to read that because that's a really powerful story. I think a lot of us are standing in a moment of transition. And that is not a comfortable space to be in. You know, when we, I know for us, when we move, I know for anybody really, unless you can hire somebody, and even if you can, it's still a time of chaos when you're in the middle of moving, a middle of transition. You got boxes everywhere. You don't know, you know, you're trying to decide the things that you can, you know, pack up, that you'll be okay doing without for a week while your life is just going to be crazy and labeling. And I hate that process of moving. It is terrible. And it sucks. But there's also excitement because, you know, you're about to step out of the threshold from one house into the next house. So you're just like, okay. And so you keep your eyes set for the next thing I'm doing. You know that the preparation is going to be for, to get you out of one season into the next. And so you just endure and you're just looking forward to it. And that's what's giving you the strength to just continue boxing stuff up and making the calls and all the fun things that come along with moving, which there aren't many. But, you know, for us, we've lived on the road, we've traveled a lot, and packing is never fun. But and that transition phase is, yeah, it's just, it's, when is it going to be over? And a lot of us, I feel many of us are in the midst of a transition. We're just like, I know there's something on the other side. I don't know what it is. I know I'm being prepared for something. I don't know what it is. Like, when will the release happen? I feel like I've been pregnant with a dream or something for so long, and I don't even know what it is. You know, like when you're carrying a baby, you don't know if it's going to be a boy or a girl, but you're just like, can we just find out already? Can this baby just come so we can just get to that moment that we've been envisioning, holding the baby, and just that moment. And I don't know. I feel like that is where many of us are at right now, in the midst of transition. And that's the point where you just want to give up, surrender. Like, okay, I'm done. I'm done waiting. Waiting isn't fun. But we know that they that wait on the Lord, not wait on the promise, not wait on the storm to be over, but they that wait on the Lord, nothing else, your strength will be renewed. You will mount up with wings as eagles. You shall run and not grow weary. You shall walk and not be faint. For the Lord will go before you, and his joy will be your strength. So it's so important to not just remove things from our life, but we also have to replace it with God's word. And let, those are the seeds we're sowing. You know, as we go through life, and circumstances are hard, don't just grit your teeth and bear it, but speak to your situation, speak to your circumstance. Don't just wish and wait for it to be over, but speak to it. The same way Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves. We are called, we have authority to speak to our circumstances. If our children are going wayward, speak to our circumstance, speak life into our circumstance. Ask the Lord for wisdom and discernment in that season. How do you respond? What do you say? What do you not say? Or maybe it's a job transition. Maybe you're just like, I feel like I'm just done with this season at this position, and I know that the Lord is moving me into somewhere else, and I don't know what it is. And I'm just like ready to be done. I'm ready to be done with the in-between and start stepping into what I'm called to do, whatever that is. And so sometimes we get impatient, but let us remind ourselves, and guard ourselves. Guard your heart in this season of transition. Guard your heart in this season of transition. Because that's when many people just give up and throw in the towel. And they're just like, I can't keep waiting. And then you get impatient. And then you start making moves on your own. You're trying to make things happen for yourself. And yeah, been there, done that. And it just can lend itself to chaos. So I just pray that release in many of you that are in that in-between season, that are just waiting for that release. I pray, Father, that you would release it. Release the word. Release the promise. Release the dream. Restore. Reignite. In Jesus' name. So Zechariah 3, verse 1. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "See, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes." And I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Okay, we have this scene where Satan is throwing shade. Can you tell I got teenagers? He's throwing shade at Joshua, and he's like, he's bringing all these accusations at him. Joshua is covered head to toe in filthy garments. And the angel of the Lord, is he just like, this is where we need to. This right here is a beautiful picture. When we get voices of accusation and it's bringing a sense of heaviness and weight, this is what's happening. This is what I imagine is happening when we feel all the accusations. Are the accusations correct? Yeah, they are. It's all an attempt to disqualify and to hinder and to give you that heaviness. And the Bible talks about taking off the garment of heaviness and trading it for the garment of praise. And let me look that exact verse up. I hate just throwing, it's important for me to get the right verses. Because it's God's word. I'm not trying to twist it. All right. That is okay. All right, Isaiah 61:3. There you have it. And it says Isaiah 61:3. Here we go.
Isaiah 61:3.
Let me see. Is that right? Yes, here we go. Amplified version. I kind of like ESV. Everybody has their own version that they be liking around these parts. Okay. To grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes. Oh my God, literally we were just reading that about Joshua. You see how that works? The oil of joy instead of mourning. A cloak of praise instead of a faint spirit. I mean, like, literally, they were just changing out his garments. So that's amazing. And this is exactly what's happening in the spirit. Okay. The garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, and that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Okay, so see, you can't even get it more perfect than that. That's a perfect, mashup right there. Isaiah 61:3 really corresponds with what's happening with Joshua, the high priest. I mean, there is an exchange happening, you know, the heavy spirit, the heavy, faint spirit for a spirit of praise. And let me get that right. And the exchange. Oh, that's so beautiful. That's for, you know what? Yes, let us grab hold of that promise. To grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes. You see the exchange that God wants to make for us. He wants to give us beauty instead of ashes. The oil of gladness instead of mourning. The garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. That we may be called oaks of righteousness. The planting of the Lord. That he may be glorified. Because Lord knows we... How many of us have tried to change things on our own? And we end up right back at square one. Okay. Yeah. No. Okay. And so you see this exchange happening. You know, God, not only that, but he rebukes Satan. He is our intercessor. He is standing at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. Isn't that so beautiful? We have an advocate in heaven. And so if you're in a season where you feel like you are having accusations thrown at you, you even, whether it's even in yourself, in your own mind, you can't get out of your own head. Or it's like, you're never going to get this right. You keep looking back at the past. What if I would have done this? What if, you know, all the shoulda, woulda, couldas, all the things that have been keeping you stuck and stagnant. Or maybe you don't even want to face the past. Maybe the memory or the thought of it comes up and you just shove it away. And you're just like, no, I don't even want to. I'm fine. I'm over it. And you just want to forget about it. You just want to pretend like it never happened. It didn't occur. God is such a good father that he doesn't want us living with chaos in here. In here. He wants us to be at peace, but there has to be that exchange. We can't just shove it down or pretend like it didn't happen or join in with the voices that say, you're not good enough. You're not, you know, you'll never, you're a failure. You're never enough. Whatever those voices tend to keep ministering to you, preaching at you. We have to be awake and aware. May the Holy Spirit awaken our hearts to the voices that are keeping us bound, the voices that are keeping us stagnant like quicksand. These voices cause us to sink down. It makes us feel heavy. And the more we fight to get out of it, it seems to just keep swallowing us into itself, into discouragement, into fear, into doubt. Father, break us free from that. You've given us your word as a sword to cut us out of these situations. So many times we miss, this is where it comes to, who is God? Who is he? Is he the voice of the accuser that's saying, oh my gosh, look at what you did. You messed up again. Well, that's just nice. Are you ever going to get it right? We've been going around the same mountain for years. Or, you know, just even the feeling of heaviness. Maybe just waking up in the morning, you already feel heavy. You don't even know what triggered it. You just seem to wake up with it and go to bed with it. This is where we need to ask God, who are you? How do you feel for me? Because we see this picture of this advocate in heaven in Zechariah 3 that is standing next to Joshua, and he is rebuking Satan on his behalf and in front of the adversary, in front of the accuser. He gives him fresh garments and a new robe. He clothes him with rich robes, it says. I love that. He clothes him with rich robes. And God speaks to Joshua and says, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. And he continues to call on them to put a clean turban on his head, giving him a new mind, new mindset. May the Lord put a clean turban on your head, a new mindset. You have the mind of Christ. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. So why do we live like spiritual paupers? Why do we live like we're abandoned and we're forsaken, that we're forgotten about, when we have the mind of Christ? He's given us his mind. Oh my gosh, to have the mind of a millionaire. Like, give me all the strategies, give me all the wisdom, give me all the insight to be successful. Like, how amazing would it be to have that mind? But we have access to a mind that is far greater than that. We have the mind of Christ, the mind of a warrior, the mind of a creator, the mind of an advocate, the mind of a discipler, the mind of a father, the mind of a wonderful counselor. We have his mind. That is our inheritance, to have a sound mind and not a spirit of fear. We have to, especially when you've grown up with all the voices, all the people that have been in your circle to remind you everything that you're not, everything that you'll never mount up to be, all the bring up all your mistakes. And you could have made mistakes in your youth, and they will still be bringing stuff up to you and throwing it in your face. That's the voice of the accuser. That is not the voice of your father. Because the last time I checked is, he throws your sins as far as the east is from the west. in the sea of forgetfulness. Those accusations. There's a difference between having conviction and feeling weighed down by accusations. So, Father, we ask that you would give us, your people, your mind. It says we have the mind of Christ. May we learn how to access it, activate that mindset within us, Lord. Push out all the things that are keeping us from accessing peace and joy and love and faithfulness and kindness and gentleness, hearing the gentle voice of our shepherd. Wash our mind. Wash our mind and our hearts with your word. The things that have been spoken to us, over us, about us, wash them away. Wash them away, Lord. Wash away those words that have caused anxiety, those words that have caused us to believe a lie about ourselves, those lies that have tried to defeat us. Wash them away, Lord. Wash them away in your truth. Wash them away with your truth, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. May your Spirit abound all the more in our lives to push out the lies of the enemy. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. The name that is above anxiety, the name that is above fear, the name that is above self-hatred, the name that is above mistakes, the name that is above loneliness, rejection, fear, abandonment. Your name is above all those names. Activate our spiritual eyes to see the truth, to see that you are always with us, that you've never left us, you've never forsaken us. You've always been there. You've always been there. You are our advocate. May we hear your words. May we hear your words. In Jesus' name. So that's something that you'll have to receive. You need to receive the mind of Christ. Say it, declare it out loud so you can hear yourself saying it. I have the mind of Christ. When you start to feel fear creeping in, nope, I have the mind of Christ. When you feel confusion, no, I have the mind of Christ. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power. You have a mind of power. That is your inheritance. Mind of power and a sound mind. A sound mind. So confusion cannot take up residence in a mind that is sound. A mind that is fixed. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He will never let you down, no matter what comes, no matter what situations try to shake out your confidence. May your confidence always be steadfast, not in your abilities, because we're just not God, but in who He is. And moving on to verse 6 in chapter 3, then the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will keep my command, then you shall also judge my house, and likewise have charge of my courts. Like, that, what an honor What an honor. There's always the step, you know, freedom is we stay free by keeping his commands. We stay free by walking in his ways, because Lord knows we've walked in our own ways and tried to do our own things, and sometimes it hasn't led to the right places. And that is why God has given us this, his amazing word, to be our foundation, to be our lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And it goes on to say, I will give you places to walk among these who stand here. Hear, O Joshua, the high priest. There it is, his identity. He is a high priest. You and your companions who sit before you, for they are a wondrous sign. For behold, I am bringing forth my servant, the branch. That is a title. I am bringing forth my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon the stone are seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave its inscription, says the Lord of hosts. I mean, like, everything's being recorded. And I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. Yes, let it be done. Let it just remove it all in one day. The Lord is going to remove our iniquities from us. You know, the Bible talks about generational curses and those visiting our children and our grandchildren. But God is calling us to be a breaker, and that is what's happening. The iniquities are from generations are being removed from the land in one day. You know, we are waiting for that suddenly. Can we get to that suddenly? Please, please. We all need that suddenly to happen in our life. That moment that we finally been waiting for. The moment we can put our foot over the threshold and said, yes, oh, this is the beginning of a new era. It is the beginning of me stepping into my promised land, the things that I've been fighting and slaying giants for. And you know what? Sometimes the battles never stop. You just get stronger. You get mightier in the Lord. You become more grounded, more aware. Sometimes the battles, they become more intense, but his grace becomes more evident and strong in your life. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, everyone will invite his neighbor under his vine and under his fig tree. A season of peace, season of prosperity, season of unity. Let that be the blessing in your home. Unity. Unity. It's so hard to have that sometimes, even with so many different perspectives and everybody having their own different thoughts. But may the one thing that unify everyone is Jesus. That's it. Everybody can have different political views, different sects of Christianity, whether it's Baptist or, you know, Pentecostal or non-denominational, whatever, it doesn't matter. But let us all be unified in this, that we love the Lord. Let our love for the Lord be what unifies the body. You know, the Bible says to speak to one another in songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. That is, let, you know, let's speak to one another in that. And let's also speak to ourselves in that. We need to be reminded who we are. Here God is telling Joshua, you are a high priest. You are a brand that's been plucked from the fire. Dang. That's pretty darn special. I really feel like the Lord wants us to start opening our mouth and utilizing the weapons that He's given us. Our mouth, that is a massive weapon against the enemy, against the schemes and the plans of the enemy. I know I've used my mouth to tear things down, tear people down, tear situations down that God's like, okay, we need to put a bridle on that tongue, shall we? And I've had to come to allowing Him to deliver my mouth from evil, deliver us from evil, right? Isn't that in the Lord's Prayer? Let's see, our Father who art in heaven, He wants us to recognize Him as our Father and worship Him. Hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. We need our bread, our manna from heaven. Every day we need a fresh word. Every day we need a new truth, or we need to continue to cling to the truth, but get it in a deeper way, deeper understanding, deeper revelation that's going to cause it to really break through whatever lies, whatever things that are entangling us, and deliver us from evil every day. This is what He taught the disciples to pray. Deliver us from evil, because it's everywhere. It's in social media, it's on TV, it's in movies, it's everywhere. I was about to say magazines, but I don't even know if they make those anymore. Like, oh my gosh, AI this and technology that. But deliver us from evil. That's deliver us from evil. I'm saying it over and over again because I think it needs to really get inside, embedded. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. Repeat that over and over. Deliver me from broken mindsets. Deliver us from the way, the things that we focus on, the things that have captured our attention. Deliver us from the things that entangle us and snare us. Deliver us from the things and the people that are toxic, that are holding us back, that we may not even see it. You may not even know that there is people in your life that are oppressing you and keeping you in a place of servitude when God's calling you to be a high priest, a king, a warrior. Sometimes you have to just get in the quiet, in the secret place, and let God release to you your identity. But you have to see who He is. You have to see that He is your advocate. You have to see and feel His love for you. Experience that. That His plans are to prosper you and not to harm you. His plans are to give you a hope and a future. A hope and a future. Hope. So when you're going through craziness in life, His plans are to give you a hope and a future, to prosper you. You know, we need to write down what God says about us. Write down those dreams, the dreams that he's placed in your hearts. Father, we just ask that you would bring to remembrance dreams that we've cast aside, thinking, no way, that will never happen, or growing impatient in the waiting. I cast them aside, but you haven't. You remember them. I think about David. I think, yeah, I started reading this book. I haven't gotten very far in it. Life got a little crazy, but I'm going to. It was called "In David Perceived He Was King." And that title in itself, "In David Perceived He Was King," like, he finally got it. He was king. He never saw himself that way. I mean, we're talking about a guy who grew up as a shepherd boy, tending sheep. And even in Psalms, he talks about how his mother and his father forsook him, orphaned. Then you have Saul, who stepped in to be like a father figure to him, and he betrayed him. And not only did he betray him, but he also, he was seeking his life. He was trying to kill him. I mean, what a crushing blow. Because, you know, so in parts of the Bible, you hear Saul refer to David as his son, and David referred to Saul as his father. So you see, David is getting, I mean, let down after let down. Everything that he finally attains somehow gets taken from him. But one thing that never got taken, I don't even know. The one thing that wasn't taken from him, there you go, was his anointing. He was anointed to be king. That anointing never was forgotten about, not by God. I'm sure David, while he's in this long season of opposition and being a fugitive and running for his life and hiding in caves and, you know, hanging out with a bunch of outlaws, I wonder if he ever went back to that moment and said, I was anointed king. That was like such an awesome moment. And this, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed on him when he was anointed. Like, how many times did he go back to that moment and just wonder, when is this going to happen? Is it going to happen? Like, and then you have that moment when Saul died and David was put in the position to be king. David perceived he was king. Well, I wonder what are you anointed for? What was the moment that you felt the Spirit of the Lord rush upon a word that was spoken over you, whether it was in the quiet of your room or whether it was at the altar at church? Where did you feel the life that was being spoken to you? You see, when God speaks to you, you feel life. You feel rejuvenated. You feel restored. And when the enemy is speaking lies, accusations, you feel opposite. You feel heaviness. You feel less than. You feel broken down. You feel not good enough. You feel like, how can I ever attain this if I keep messing up? And then your focus shifts from God and from promise and from the future and from hopes, and your focus shifts to not good enough. There's no way. I can never do that. That's for somebody else. It's not for me. And you begin to come into agreement with lies. You're now signing this covenant with your words. You know that I'm never gonna get to that place. I'm never going to break free from this addiction. I'm never going to have a whole family. My marriage is always going to suffer. I'm never going to, get rid of this fear or this anxiety. And yet the Lord is giving me visions of talking on stage or ministry or is preaching to a bunch of people or writing books or whatever it is. And you're like, there's no way. Look at me. I'm so this, I'm so that. And it swallows you up. And the Lord wants to break you free from those lies. But you have to come out of agreement with it. You have to identify those lies. And it's not by might nor by power, but it is by His Spirit. His Spirit is going to reveal the lies you've been believing, those word covenants that you have come into agreement with. Because those words that you've been speaking about yourself have gotten into your thought life, and now you've developed patterns, cycles, loops that you feel like you're just going around in circles. Like, I'll have good day, bad day. You know, you're starting to see that there's a pattern, and you're just like, my life is just a loop. I feel that. I feel like sometimes our life is like a loop of disease. I've gotten so frustrated over the years when we'd get one diagnosis after the other diagnosis, and it's just one kid after the other infected with Lyme disease, and you know, it starts to wear on the finances and it wears on you emotionally, and you're just like, oh my gosh, when does this cycle end of disease? And that's when I felt the Lord finally speak to me. When are you going to stop receiving it and just waiting for it to end? When are you going to start fighting with your words? When are you going to start declaring healing? Like, I've always begged for it, but I've never declared it, that it was mine, that is my portion. That is my children's portion. That is our bread. And the enemy is not going to be nice about it. He's just not. He doesn't just give it to you because you asked for it. You take it by force. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. So I want to encourage you, take what's yours by force. Take what's yours. Take what God has for you. Take it by force. You don't have to ask. You don't have to beg for it. It's already yours. You just have to take it. And I'm learning that myself. We take it by force. We don't have to ask for something that's already ours. If he crossed our territory, if he crossed the jurisdiction and came into our home, bringing disease, bringing depression, bringing anxiety, bringing all those things, now we need to figure out, where was the entry point? What was the point of agreement that I allowed this to come into my home? Where did I come into agreement with this lie? And I need to break it. I need to break the lies of depression. I need to break the lies of anxiety. If it's been your parents struggled with it, your grandparents struggled with it, and now you're struggling with it, and you see your kids are struggling with it, it's time to get angry. It's time to get angry. That's not your portion. Depression is not your portion. Anxiety is not your portion. Fear is not your portion. That is not your inheritance. It's not. Hope is. Love. kindness, gentleness, having a gentle father. Did you grow up with a father that was harsh and mean? Did you grow up with a father that was absent, that constantly rejected you? Well, your portion is a gentle father. Your portion is what I just read to you in Zechariah 3, a father that stands next to you and rebukes the devourer, rebukes the enemy who's trying to rob Joshua of his calling, of his identity. Forget the calling. What about your identity? God doesn't want you to do. He wants you to be. He doesn't want you to do. He wants you to be. Sometimes we get so caught up in, God, what are you calling me to do? No, stop. No, don't ask God what he wants you to do. He don't want you to do nothing. He wants you to be. He wants you to be his child. He wants you to be present and to trust him as a father. So it starts with relationship. Forget about the doing. He doesn't want us doing. Anything that we do from a place of knowing, of being a child of God, anything that flows from that place, then it's going to be real. It's going to be lasting because we're doing it from a place of identity. So when people come around and they're launching their attacks that you're this, you're that, this sucks, your podcast sucks, you're whatever, who cares? You're not doing it for nobody else. You're doing it for the Lord. You're doing it because you're stepping into your inheritance as a king, as a priest, as a prophet, as an apostle, whatever it is that he's calling you to do. You're not doing it for nobody else. You're doing it for your Father. You're stepping into what he has for you. You're stepping into what he's called you to be, not do. And that was a mindset that I had so broken because I've been trained. I've been groomed from a young age to be a doer. Do, do, do. Your success is measured by what you do. The who you are, how good you are, how whatever you are, whatever title, fill in the blank you are, is all based off of what you do. And God's like, no, I'm not judging you based off of what you do, but who you choose to believe that you are, who we believe God to be. And anything that we do from a place of being his child, it's going to be from a pure heart. It'll all be pure. We don't have to constantly question our motives because we know our identity is wrapped up in who he says we are. So when Joshua and when God says you are a high priest, he is doing things from a place of identity. Identity. That is where we have to know what our inheritance is as a child of God. And we got a lot of inheritance. We don't gotta be walking around here looking like a lost nobody. No. God wants us to be confident and firm in truth. And sometimes we won't even know what truth is. Sometimes we're deceived and we don't even know it. That's why it's a constant work of the Holy Spirit and just staying connected with the Word, staying connected with prayer, staying connected with the Lord. I could go on and on. And because I'm going through this season of, I've been going through a long, long season of cleansing. Long season of cleansing. He's really washing the sediment and the residue of years of things I didn't even know I had. I didn't even know I had issue with certain things or certain people or circumstance. I'm like, oh my God, that's a trauma wound. What? I didn't even know that's why I act that way or respond that way. It's so the Holy Spirit, and the Lord is so gentle. He brings things up in a way that he works on it with you. It's not like you're this, you're that, and now you feel like, oh my God, I got a whole list of to-do things. I have to change this. No. God doesn't bring things up to you like, okay, here's your list. Make sure you work on this, and then come see me for your report, and I'll let you know how you've been. No, he does things with us, and not even with us. He does a lot of that cleansing work. He's doing it. He's cleansing us. And we got to do the hard part of changing our mindset. If there's like a memory that keeps coming up and you keep pushing it away, I don't want to deal with it. No, I'm fine. I'm over it. No, be sensitive to that. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's trying to bring something up to your mind to bring healing. And you're not going to, it's a moment to surrender and say, Father, why do I keep thinking about this? What are you trying to say to me? Why do I keep thinking about this memory from when I was 5 or 6? Why does this keep coming up? Holy Spirit, speak to me. What healing needs to take place? What are you trying to speak to me? Be sensitive. Surrender in that moment and just pause and let him speak to you. And don't feel like you have to just sit still in a quiet room. If you feel like you connect better with the Lord in nature, go for a walk. Go for a walk and speak to him there. Journal. If you're a writer, journal. If you're an artist who likes to draw, draw. Maybe he will show you this through art or whatever. Like, we don't have, it's not a one size fits all. And for some of us, I like to just sit in a quiet room and just listen. Whatever that looks like for you, connect with the Lord. So that is my cup of tea for you. And I'm going to close this out in prayer. And my encouragement to you will be that you just continue to surrender to whatever it is that the Lord is speaking to you in this season. Is it going to make sense? Probably not. But if you just listen to his voice in the midst of the crazy, you know, dinner time is not my favorite time. I'm not a fan of cooking dinner. But there is such a beautiful moment, and I wanted to film it. But it was, I didn't feel right doing it, because I feel like when people are worshiping, it's such like an intimate thing, you know. And me and Kenzie are in the kitchen and cutting up chicken, and we're just blasting worship music, and we are just singing, and she's just got her eyes closed, hands waving in the air, worshiping the Lord with all of our hearts, screaming at the top of her lungs, and it's just striking my heart. This little 7-year-old child just worshiping with all her, I mean, it was what I would envision David saying, I will become even more undignified than this. This is where you know you are confident in the Lord. Like, I don't even care. I will dance my clothes off. This is a moment, and I am not letting it pass me by. And the Spirit of the Lord is not just in the church, is not just at a conference. It is with you in your car when you are driving your kids to school or the pool or to their sports activities. The Lord is with you and them. His presence is with you. when you're just doing the mundane things, the dishes, the laundry, invite him into those spaces. Don't feel like, okay, the Lord has this 6 o'clock slot in the morning from 6 to 6:15. I'm going to do my, no, girl, boy, whoever's listening. No, invite him into every space of your day. Every space. When you're walking on the way, you know, the Bible talks, oh, what is that verse? You know, where he says, when you're walking in the way, teach these to your children, bind them to the tablets of your heart. Like it is a constant meditation. It's a constant conversation. When you're mowing the grass, all those moments, those are spaces to invite your Father in. Your Father in. Not, I mean, like, he is God and he is sovereign and he is holy. And the title Father doesn't diminish that. It actually enhances that title. Like, wow. Wow. You want to be my Father? Think about that. You're not, he's chosen you. You're chosen. You're set apart. You're a holy nation, a royal priesthood. You are set apart for his designed purposes. And I just pray that that will really capture your heart so you can walk in the freedom that he has for you. Walk freely, dance freely, the way David danced, the way he danced. When I saw my daughter just singing her little heart out to the Lord and waving her hands, I was like, God, don't let me ever forget this moment. I want to remember this for the rest of my life. And I just joined in with her because nobody should ever act crazy by themselves, especially not in worship. Everybody, I mean, like... Let that oil burst forth in me too. I want some of that. And so something mundane like cooking chicken and rice turns into the spirit and the presence, can I talk, of the Lord being made manifest. And it's a beautiful thing. I do want to end with this because I was very proud of this. There's this young kid that goes to our school. I shouldn't call him a kid, but he goes to our church, a young man that goes to our church, and he calls our family up and he invites us to a Bible study. And I was so impressed. And he put together this whole, you know, everybody was meeting at the coffee shop in our town. And he is just dreaming big. I mean, big goal, big dream. Like, oh, well, if we don't fit in here, then we'll move out to we'll go outside, you know, making secondary plan A, plan B. And, you know, I was so impressed. And so my daughter and I went, and to hear the conversations that were taking place among these teenage boys that could be talking about drugs and girls and, you know, plans for this and that. No, they are talking about God. They're talking about accountability. They're talking about, like, I'm just watching and witnessing a remnant of mighty young men. And I was like, I am not going to cry. I'm not going to be that person. But that was such a blessing. And it was such a challenge because it's like, you know what? Nobody told him to do this. Nobody put a gun to his head. Nobody tried to convince him. This came from his own. He was being commissioned by the Lord to answer what God was putting in his heart. And he was faithful to do it. And it was a beautiful turnout. And I'm like, there is revival in these boys' hearts and my daughter's. I mean, I'm sure there'll be more girls there next time. But these kids have revival in their souls. And it's a beautiful thing to witness our children's generation. You know, there's always so many negative connotations out there about Gen X, Gen Z, Gen whatever, that they're this, that they're that. But no, what I'm witnessing is revival. Salvation is in their hearts. And that's a beautiful thing. So I'm going to close out this prayer session with prayer. So those takeaways, surrender to the memories. The memories that are coming up, as painful as what they may be, ask the Lord to walk you through it. It is Him. He's bringing things up because He needs to get rid of the clutter. Lord knows we've been doing that in our house, trying to get rid of all this clutter in our house so that we can make room for things that really matter. Who wants to be stuck in the house cleaning stuff up all day? I'm like, no, not me, not this girl. Let's simplify so we can make, enlarge our capacity, enlarge the tent pegs of our heart to take in things that are kingdom worthy and that are actually beneficial than to be cleaning up toys 24/7, especially half of them that are broken. But God is doing that to us in this season. He's clearing the clutter, and those memories, those triggers, those traumas, it's all taking up clutter in our lives. And He wants to release more of our identity, release truth, release confidence. And as we surrender those things, our confidence will only continue to grow in Him. So, Father, we thank You for this time, for this moment that we get to talk about Your goodness, get to talk about Your nature and Your character of being a good Father. Lord, we are so undeserving of such a faithful Father, such a good Father, that You're anything that we need You to be. You're so faithful. You're so true. You're healing hearts even now. Even now, Lord, You're healing hearts. You're restoring the broken things, the broken areas of many people's hearts that have been damaged by words, that have been damaged by abandonment or rejection or fear. You're restoring. You're giving oil, Your oil of gladness instead of mourning. You're giving a garment of praise instead of a faint and heavy spirit. May we recognize the strategies of the enemy. May we recognize his lies. Holy Spirit, rise up within us. Rise up so mightily within us to dispel the darkness, to dispel the lies, so that we can move forward in freedom. In Jesus' name, may we not shrink back in fear, but may we advance. May we advance. Not looking at our circumstances, but keeping our eyes fixed on the author and the finisher of our faith, the Alpha and the Omega. In Jesus' name, may we hear Your songs of deliverance, Lord. Zephaniah 3:17 says that You sing and You dance over us. May we hear Your songs of deliverance. Deliver Your people from evil. Deliver us from evil. And we just come against any plans that the enemy has sent to bring distractions, to bring discouragement, to bring hopelessness. In Jesus' name, we cancel those plans. May the meditation of our hearts not be the first thing that comes to our mind, but may we take every thought captive and make it obedient to your word. In Jesus' name, train your people for battle. Train our hands that we will not fight as one that beats the air, but give us eyes to see and ears to hear what your spirit is saying, so that we can be a mighty force that continues to set the captives free and to bind the brokenhearted and to release the prisoners from darkness. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, guys, I hope this has been a blessing to you. I did not expect to go this long, but you know, this is what happens when I chomp those words up. But anyways, you guys, I don't know, a lot of changes are going to be kind of coming up with my podcast. I don't really know what, but that's just what I've been feeling, a lot of shifting. So I'm just going to remain steadfast with doing the live prayer sessions because that's where God's got me right now. And quite honestly, I am loving it because I don't really have to do much editing. So there's that. But anyways, I also want to put an invitation out there. If there is a prayer request you have or a need, you could type that in. And we'll hit it on next week's episode so that we can all come into agreement with that. So until next time, you guys continue to rebuild your ruins. If you are watching on YouTube, make sure to hit that like and subscribe button. Yes. And share this with anybody who feels like you feel like will be blessed with praying along with something or someone, because we all fighting out in these streets. We all need some camaraderies, you know. So you guys stay blessed, and I'll catch you guys next time.